this past Sunday was mostly a good one. It was good to see Grace leading worship and finding her place as a worship leader. I really enjoyed that. She led us in a great time of worship together. I felt better about the sermon than sometimes. You have to be a preacher to know what that means. But I felt pretty good about it. I could see God working among us during the sharing time as people were sharing with us. And I could tell that he was at work here. Had some good conversations after church with many of you. It was good to go to youth group in the afternoon and enjoy the new leaders who are helping out and seeing how that's coming together. Although Lane and Gabrielle did beat Ray and I at Spikeball, that was kind of a bummer. But rematch next week. All right. Ray, you up for that? Yeah. All right. We can do it. I know we can. I got home, I don't know, about 7:30 Sunday, pretty tired, and Doris wanted to talk. You ever been in that situation as a husband or wife, and your spouse says, we need to talk? I don't know that I was really up for it. Tired. I don't know if you've, been like, I don't really feel like doing this. I didn't really take it that well, even though deep down I knew that the things she was talking about were things that we needed to talk about. They were important. And I hate to admit that I played the sullen, silent husband role pretty well. In fact, over the years, unfortunately, that has been a role that I've used different times, I have to admit. And it took us a while to work things out. We didn't get them worked out that evening. It drug on into Monday, and finally Monday, we were able to talk things through and work through the things that needed to be worked through. And it took a lot of wind out of my sails. It wasn't exactly how I wanted to approach Easter. I've been talking about preparing for Easter, getting ready for this day. And so this week of preparing, it wasn't exactly how I wanted to start that week. I was a little discouraged. I don't know, maybe you don't feel this way, but I sometimes feel like, how could you still be an idiot like that? Ever feel that way? Like, come on, Rob. Get it together. How can I be a leader in my family, in my church, when I do things like this? How could I get up here on Easter Sunday and preach a message, an Easter message? How do I do that? But as I thought and prayed about this Sunday, I couldn't think really of a better way to come. I can bring this message as one who needs new life. I know it very clearly. I need new life. I'm in need of a resurrection. And we all are. We're all in need of a resurrection. There's death and sin all around us, and it unfortunately still affects our relationships with people, our marriages. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. I don't know what it is that you come with here today. Maybe you are one of those persons that is coming here today and you have it all together. All the pieces of your life are in great shape. And yeah, maybe that's where you're at. I can't really relate to that. I think there are times where I feel like I have it all together, and then I'm reminded of my need for new life, my need for new life. Maybe your marriage is struggling, I don't know. Maybe in some way it has died. Maybe you have a son or daughter who has turned away from you, or you have a strained relationship with. Maybe you have a lot of dreams for life that just aren't happening. They're just not happening. The things that you have dreamed about and thought about that you'd like to see happen, and you're wondering, God, where is this? What is happening here? I don't get it. Maybe you're struggling with a body that's just deteriorating. Us that are older. Levi would say I can't say that yet, but I am starting to notice deterioration, though. Doris keeps shaving my hair like closer and closer down because he doesn't like this spot that sticks out in the middle. So she, like, we got to get it all evened out. But our bodies are deteriorating, and it reminds us of death, that we're dying, that our human body is dying. It's decaying. Maybe you've already lost someone close to you. I don't know. I know some of you who have. Maybe a husband or a wife or a child or a brother or sister or a friend. We're all going to die. Reuben preached that 3 weeks ago, right? Reuben, we're all going to die. Thank you for that message. It was a great message, actually. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back and listen to that. I listened to it again this week. And you're like, well, why bring this up on Easter, Rob? Come on. Well, because we need a resurrection. We need a resurrection in so many ways. So many ways. And today we have hope that Jesus can bring new life to every area of our lives. Every area. That's the hope that we have today. I want to read from Matthew 28. We could look at several passages about the resurrection. I chose Matthew 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Jesus has defeated sin and death for us. He was like us in every way, tempted in every way. We talked about that. And yet he did not sin. He is the perfect Lamb of God, upon whom all the sin of the entire world, both past, present, and future, was placed. No other sacrifice would have been sufficient. He has defeated death. And he is the only one whose body is not in the tomb, or will someday not be in the tomb. He's not here. He's alive today. In John chapter 11, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Those of us who believe here this morning, all that he is and all that he has done, you will never die. I want you to think about that for a moment. You will never die. Your physical body? Yes. Physical body is going to die. Your spirit will never die. If you remember, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "You must be born again." And when we believe, our spirit is born again into eternal life. The death that began in the Garden of Eden because of sin has been resurrected into life, abundant life. I've always kind of wondered how Paul could say in Philippians chapter 1, "To me to live is Christ and to die is gain." It seems like a difficult thing to say, and he says it with such ease. But it's because he knew that all life comes from and in and through Christ. So either one is life. Whether to remain with Christ here or to go to be with him and see him face to face. No wonder he was torn between the two. No believer needs to fear death. Not that we live recklessly. We could approach it that way, I suppose, and do all the things that seem reckless to us. I don't know what seems reckless to you, diving out of airplanes, playing in traffic. I just thought those suits that they wear when they jump out of the airplane, you know, those, what do they call, wingsuits? I just thought those things were cool, to fly through the air. But I don't think I'm going to try it. It seems to me tempting fate there. Not that we live recklessly in our lives, but we do not fear death if we believe this truth. If we believe in the power of the resurrection, we do not need to fear death. In fact, we have much, much to look forward to. I remember several years ago being at my mother's funeral, and we sang an Easter song together at that funeral, and I still remember the sound of that, just of the church singing together, proclaiming the truth. And I want to sing it this morning with you all, if you would join me. You're going to need to stand to sing this song, I think. Lift your glad voices.
Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and short the dominion of death and the grave. He burst from the fetters of darkness that bound him, resplendent in glory. voice of angels on high, the Savior hath risen, and man shall not die. Glory to God in full anthems of joy. The being he gave us death cannot destroy. Sad were the life we may part with tomorrow, if tears were our birthright and death were our end. But Jesus had cheered the dark valley of sorrow and bade us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die.
He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. You may be seated. I remember singing that song very well, my mom's funeral, and I miss her. I do. I miss my mom. I miss my dad, my brother, Charlie, who some of you know is a part of us here, Brenda. We could go down the list of people that we miss who have gone before us. We grieve and mourn their loss, but not as those who have no hope. Not as those who have no hope. As Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, that we who remain will meet these believers, those believers who have gone before us in the air when Christ returns. We will be reunited. Amen?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that day. And this next thing that I think is the coolest thing ever, cooler than science fiction, which I really like, but I just keep wondering what this is going to be like. 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable and this mortal body must put on immortality. We're not going to have to always put up with this body that is breaking down. Someday, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how if we're going to look exactly the same or some way we're going to recognize. Maybe we'll look different. Some way we'll know each other, I believe. But we are going to have a new body. Not only is our spirit eternal, but we will have an eternal body that will not perish, immortal, won't break down, will last forever. I don't even know what we're going to do with it. Are we going to run? Will we be able to run the fastest race that we've ever run in our lives? Swim like we've never swum before? Fly? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with this new body. But I like to think about it. We're going to be changed. And all of us who are suffering with some ailment in our mortal body, could I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. What's that going to be like? I can't wait to see what that will be like. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you believe in him, you will never die. And so, on all levels, you will never die. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about this life? What about the stuff right now that kind of stinks? We're just waiting around for Jesus to return. Meanwhile, we got to just slog through this life. Our broken relationships, our struggle with sin, our broken dreams, this broken world. What does Jesus' resurrection mean for us right now? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, behold, the new has come. We are not who we used to be in Christ. We are not who we used to be. The old has gone and the new has come. We are declared righteous. We are completely forgiven now of our sin, past, present, future, through the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. We call this justification. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have been set free. Now, free. Freedom for the captives. We are not now who we will become. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being changed. We are being transformed. And yes, we're struggling with sin and its consequences, but the Holy Spirit is continually restoring and renewing us, shaping us and molding us into the image of Christ until the day that He returns. We are being made into what we have already been declared. We have been declared righteous, and we are being made into righteous and holy people. The power of the resurrection can bring new life to any area of your life. There is nothing that can stand against it. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. There is no sin that cannot be overcome. There is no situation that God can't somehow use for good. There is no person that He can't save. There are some things in my life, in the church, in the world, where I can see the power of the resurrection. I'm going to pick on somebody this morning. I was so overwhelmed last Sunday when Kelly shared that God has taken away his desire to commit suicide. And if you've walked with Kelly for a few years, you know this has been a real struggle for a long time. It's gone. You need to stop by and visit him. His house is being transformed. Each day he's painting a new room. And I think he's cleaning his house more than we clean our house. He's excited about staying here and being here. It's a transformation. And yes, it's been a long process, I know. But it's the same with all of us. It's a process of transformation, but there's nothing that can stand against the power of the resurrection. Nothing. No situation, no sin. The ability for Doris and I to work through our marriage issues, it's the work of God in our life. It's the power of the resurrection. Because, you know, it wasn't just last weekend. That wasn't the only time. I know you're surprised, but that wasn't the only time that we've had to work through something. It's been 29 years of working through things like that. And they're hard, difficult. But I can testify that our marriage is being transformed. New life is being breathed into it each day by the power of God. I can see some things like that, you know. We can see God working. We can see how maybe even difficult things are being used for good. And God is transforming them. But there are things that I can't see. There are things that I don't really know what's going on. I look at it, I say, I have no idea what is going on with that. I don't really see much good in that. I don't really see even how that can be restored, how that can be fixed. It looks like a mess to me. It's broken. It's messed up. It looks like it's beyond repair. What do we do with those things? Well, Scripture says we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. We walk by faith. Faith that the power of the resurrection is at work in us, in our families, in our church, in the world, in our workplace, whatever that situation is in your life. We believe by faith that sin and death has been defeated. It has been defeated. Some have likened our lives with Christ maybe like a tapestry. And sometimes it seems like all we can see is the back of the tapestry. I don't know if you've looked at the back of a tapestry, but it's just a bunch of gnarled knots and threads going every which way. It looks like a mess. No rhyme or reason. But we believe that Christ is making all things new. All things new. That He's making beautiful things out of us. He's making beautiful things out of us. We just can't see the other side yet. We can't see the other side. We don't see the big picture. We don't see the other side. And sometimes I believe we will never see the other side in this life. We'll never actually know what the other side looks like in this life. It's a walk of faith. But we believe that God is making beautiful things. And I, as is my fashion, another song came to mind. Songs help me remember the truths. They help me keep them in mind. And I thought of this one that we sing in the youth group. The youth, you're going to have to help me sing if nobody else is singing, all right? I don't see anybody nodding their head. Yes, I'll help you, Rob. Thank you. But I love this, the words of this song. I'd like us to sing it together. We've sung it here a couple times maybe, but all this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change. All this earth could all lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things.
soul down. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. Out of the dust, you make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us.
You believe that? It's the power of the resurrection. It's what we celebrate today, that He is making beautiful things out of us. And I know it's hard to think that sometimes. Earlier this week, thinking, God, really? Can you make something beautiful out of this? Looks pretty bad. But it's the amazing news of the resurrection. I want to close with a scripture that I've been thinking about for a couple weeks when it comes to Easter. It's not typically an Easter scripture that I've seen used. But it reminds me of this same message of the life that we have in Christ that He brings to us. It's found in Isaiah chapter 61. In the first part of this chapter, Jesus quotes this in Luke chapter 4 about Himself. And we're probably most familiar with that part of the passage. But I want to focus in particular on the last part, the promise that is given to us. Psalm 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I love this picture of new life. Beauty from ashes. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that's had a little bit of a rough week here. but there's probably a few others that are maybe struggling with one thing or another, that you desire this. You desire the power of the resurrection to be made known in this part of your life. You desire to see beauty come from ashes. It's a promise from the Lord. He can do it. And so I want you to listen to an old song. As you think of this, the song encourages me is taken from this passage. Just a time of reflection of what the Lord might be speaking to you this morning. I hope that you are encouraged about the power of the resurrection for any situation in your life. And yeah, sometimes it's good to hoop and holler, and I love doing that. And sometimes it's good to understand the depth of what we're hooping and hollering about, you know? Where the rubber really hits the road, because I know our lives are not all hooping and hollering. They aren't. I know they're not. And the power of the resurrection meets us right there, right where we're at.